good morning. You can go ahead and have a seat. And I'm thankful this morning that we have a God who is writing a better story in our lives, that has not quit on us, that is still working in us and wants to work through us. And so I'm excited about that. It's cool to see how God has transformed people's lives and is still transforming lives, and how he's taking people from different situations and different backgrounds and really doing something in their life that allows them to write a better story, which is his gospel story with their lives. And so we're going to be wrapping up this series, A Better Story, today. This will be the final message in this series. And we're going to be reading three different scriptures to start with, but we're going to begin in 1 Peter 5:8. And if you have your Bible, you can turn there. If not, it'll be up on the screen as we go from scripture to scripture. But through this series, we've really been looking at how many times we allow experience and influences around us to determine how we see life and how we see ourselves. And it oftentimes tells a story about our life that's not accurate. And we've talked about how the truth of God's word, the big T truth, is there to tell us the true story about who we are and who we are in Christ and what Christ has done for us and what he wants to do in us and through us. And so we're going to continue that today. I hope to be able to give you some very applicable things to do and ways to live out of the truth of God's word. And so I want to do that, as I said, beginning in 1 Peter 5:8. And so we're going to read that. Then we're going to jump to 2 Corinthians 10. Verses 1 through 5 and Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. But 1 Peter 5:8 says this: "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians. His apostleship and ministry is being attacked, and they're trying to say that he's nothing special, basically saying that his ministry is not that great, that they should follow these false apostles rather than follow Paul. And so he's trying to defend the ministry that God's given him. He says, "By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold toward you when away, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And then over in Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now let's pray. God, thank you for your love for us, your grace. Thank you for the truth of your word. God, I thank you that it's living and active. And God, I just pray that through the power of your spirit, it would speak to our hearts. And God, that you would speak to our hearts. And God, we would leave here different than the way we walked in. We would leave here more like Christ and closer to you. God, I just pray that in the next few minutes, you would just do a great work in our lives, Lord. God, we'll stand on your truth, and God, we'll do all the things you created us to do as you empower us through your spirit, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this guy right here, who we'll talk about in a little while, has been scaring us for the last 3 weeks. He's been popping up everywhere around the building, and they put him in my office without me knowing. While I was out one day, I walked in, I screamed like a little girl. I mean, it scared me so bad. And every time I would walk in my office, I would know he was there. He would still scare me. And so, I don't know, this guy's here, and we'll talk about him in a little bit. But I was thinking about the message and getting prepared for the message, and was reminded of something that happened when I was about 8 or 9 years old. And when I lived over in Noonan, Georgia, some of you may be from that area, I lived over there until I was about 10 years old. We moved over here, but in the neighborhood that we lived in, I had a good buddy of mine who lived a couple of doors down from me. And after school every day, I'd go down to his house, we'd play, whatever. About dark, I'd come back home. And so we weren't the only kids in the neighborhood. There was three or four other kids that lived in the neighborhood, and we had a little bit of a neighborhood rivalry between the two of us, right? And so they would come by, we would talk some trash and argue with each other and that kind of thing, but that's about as far as it ever went. And then one day I was walking home, it was about dark and I couldn't see much. And as I was walking to my house, I heard something behind me. And when I turned around, it was one of those boys. And he knocks me down, jumps on top of me, and proceeds to beat me half to death, it felt like. I mean, he beat me so bad. And I had to say he was older than me. That's the only reason he beat me up, but because it makes me feel better. But anyway, he beat me up. I mean, my face beat the mess out of his hand, his fist. It was crazy. And so I get up and I go screaming, you know, running home, crying. And and I had no idea how to fight back. I had no idea that I was even about to be in a fight. And I think that's how a lot of us as Christians are a lot of times. As we go through life, we don't realize a couple of things, and there's a couple of things we need to know and we need to realize. And the first one is that we're in a fight, that we really, as 1 Peter 5:8 says, we really have an enemy who wishes to come against us, who doesn't want to hinder us. It says that he wants to devour us. It means to drink down. It means to completely consume. It means that he wants to completely destroy. He hates us, especially because we're in the image of Christ now. We have the righteousness of Jesus. He wants to destroy everything that's not of Christ, or that is of Christ, and that he can come against that would hurt us, destroy us, not just hinder us. And so we have to realize that we are in this fight. And for many of us, we go through life and we just don't even realize that there is an enemy that wants to come against us. The second thing that we have to realize, and that I didn't know when I got jumped by this kid, is how to fight. I'd never been in a fight in my life. I didn't know how to fight. I didn't know how to take up for myself, how to defend myself in that situation. And a lot of times as Christians, we don't either. We just do the best we can. We just try to tough it out or get through it, you know, just keep walking. And the reality of it is that God wants us to know how to fight this. He wants us to know how to win these battles that come at us. And that's what Paul's writing a lot about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, when he's talking about how he doesn't fight with the weapons of this world. And he's got these people who are challenging his apostleship, his ministry. And they're coming against him, and they're using deceit and manipulation, and they're using lies and all these things against him. And he's saying, look, when I come to you, I'm not going to come and I'm not going to fight you or against these people with deceit. I'm not going to come and fight against these people with manipulation. I'm not going to come and fight with more lies. He says, I'm coming with the truth. And he talks about being able to have these weapons that tear down these strongholds. And he talks about taking thoughts captive. And as Christians, we have to realize that as the lies of the world and culture and things that people say and the experiences of life come at us, we have to be able to take those thoughts captive. We have to bring them to the truth of God's word. And we have to see what's really true and what's really false. And we have to realize that this truth does have the power to tear down strongholds. Strongholds are ways of thinking that are contrary to God's word or contrary to God's truth. And so many times we get our minds locked in these different ways of thinking that aren't in line with the truth of God's word. Our minds begin to sort of be channeled and patterned to think a certain way. And so we think this way without thinking. It's just our nature. We begin to think a certain way. And he's saying, listen, The truth of God's word has the power to tear down those strongholds, to tear down those ways of thinking, to begin to rewire your mind, to rewire your brain, to think a different way. And so it's important for us to realize we're in a fight. We got an enemy that's going to come against us with lies, with deceit, with manipulation, and realize that we got to know how to fight, that we're not going to win this battle through the world system of performing better or just doing better or just trying harder. We're going to win the battle by trusting in God's word and standing on his truth. In Ephesians 6, Paul talks about the Ephesians standing firm. He says it over and over again. He says, stand. And he says, stand firm. And when you've done all, stand. He's telling them to be strong. He's telling them to be courageous and standing on God's word. And he's not telling them that because things are easy. He's telling them that because he knows they're in a battle. He knows they have things that are confronting them, things that are coming against them, difficulties and challenges, persecution, things that are coming in against them. He knows they have a real enemy that's attacking them and that wants to harm them, destroy them, take away what God wants to do in their lives and do through their lives. And so he's telling them, stand firm. And he tells them to put on the full armor of God. And when we look at the armor of God, we got to realize it's something that God gives us on one hand, but it's also something that we have to put on. It's something that we have to apply. It's walking in all of God's truth and being able to apply that to our lives and apply that to be able to refute the lies of the enemy, the deceit that we see and the deceit that comes against us, the manipulation of things around us that want to get us to do things a certain way. It's being able to walk in that battle. And I wanted to dress this guy up just to give you an idea of what this Roman soldier that Paul is describing would look like. And some of this is like his shoes. Now, these are like Dexter shoes or something. They're not like really what he would have worn. And what he would have worn would actually had spikes on the bottom that he would have worn so he'd give him better traction in the battle. But it gives you an idea. And many people think that when Paul wrote Ephesians chapter 6 that he was looking at one of these soldiers and he was actually describing it according to what he saw. And so he starts out, and I'll start out just from the top of his head and we'll work to his feet, but he's got on this helmet of salvation, Paul says. And what we have to see is that the helmet guarded the head, right? It guarded the mind, the brain. And what Paul wants us to do is to put on this helmet of salvation, to remember who we are in Christ, to remember what Christ has done for us, to remember that we are saved, that he has saved our souls, that he has reconciled us back to God, that he has done something for us that we could never possibly do for ourselves. He wants us to remember that we are saved, that we're being saved, that God is working in our lives right now, and that we will be saved, that at the end of the day, after all the battles are over, we've already won the war, and he wants us to see that we're one day going to be in glory. We're going to go from this life to the next and continuing to spend that whole eternity with Christ and with our Father in heaven as he's reconciled us back to him. And so he's saying, clothe yourself with this helmet. Put this helmet on. Don't let this escape your thinking, but remember what Jesus has done. Remember who you are in Christ. Refute the thoughts that come against you that would tell you something else. And stand firm with the helmet of salvation on your head, protecting your mind. Then you come to this breastplate of righteousness. And when you think about this, it guarded the most vital organs on the soldier. It was something that protected him. And in the same way that the righteousness of Jesus has protected us, it protects us. It protects us, one, by showing us that we are the righteousness of Christ, that we've been made righteous through Jesus. But it also shows us how we grow into the righteousness of Christ, becoming actually more like Christ. And so it protects our heart. It protects us from just allowing anything into our heart that would take us in a direction away from Jesus. The Bible says that all the issues of life flow from the heart. And so it's guarding the very core of our being so that it remains being led, being empowered by Jesus. And so we walk in this righteousness of Christ, in this breastplate of righteousness. You got the belt of truth, and this belt kind of secured everything together. The breastplate, the sword, everything was really secured by this belt. And so he says, put on the belt of truth. And it's in the truth of God's word that we find security, true security in who we are and who we're becoming and where we're going and what's going to happen. We find it in the truth of God's word, not in things around us, not in deception and lies that maybe we've bought into, but we find it in God's word and his truth. It brings security to our lives. So many of us walk in insecurities. I'm no different than you are. We all have different insecurities that tend to plague us at times. And sometimes we try to cover it up with this false confidence or pride. But beneath the surface, there's insecurities that exist. What we have to see is that we become secure not by faking it and acting as though we have no insecurity. We become secure by becoming transparent with God and other people and finding our identity in the truth of God's word, not in what other people think or even the experiences of our lives. And so we have to be secure in the truth of God's word. As we are in it, we hear it, we receive it, we do what God tells us to do. And then we don't have one, but he would have had this huge shield. It would have been almost like a full body length type shield. And they would soak these shields in water. And these were used oftentimes because they would face enemies that would shoot flaming arrows at them. And it would put out those flaming arrows. And so they wouldn't catch on fire. And so it protected them. And so he's saying the faith is that way. It guards us. It protects us. It helps us to walk in the ways of Christ. It protects us against the arrows that the enemy, as we read in 1 Peter 5:8, wants to use against us, to devour us, to hurt us. And so he's saying, get behind this shield of faith. Stand in this faith. Don't let go of this faith. And the challenge for us is this. Some days we feel it, right? We feel Christian. We feel faithful. We feel strong. And then there's other days that we don't. And the challenge for us is this. The challenge is not to live out of what we feel, but to live out of what we know. It's a huge difference. If we just live out of what we feel instead of living out of faith in what we know, then it's an up and down roller coaster because none of us always feel faithful. There's days that I have to stand up here and I don't feel very, very strong. I don't feel very faith-filled. But I have to go back to what I know, not what I feel. And what I know is who Christ is and what he's done for us. I know that when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I have to go back to the truth of what I know versus allowing my feelings to dictate what I do. And so it's walking in faith, it's trusting in faith, realizing that faith puts out those flaming arrows, the lies of the enemy, the deceit, the manipulation, the different things that would come against us, the experiences of our lives that would tell us something other than the truth. Then we've got his feet fitted with this readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And when I look at this, I think the biggest thing that speaks to me is that he had purpose. He recognized his purpose. He had a kingdom purpose. The soldier had a kingdom purpose. You have a kingdom purpose. You're to carry the gospel into the world. You're to advance the kingdom of God. We have a purpose in Christ. And in the armor of God, we see not only who we are, but we see why we exist and how we're to carry out the purposes of God as we carry this message into the world. One of the reasons that we oftentimes don't feel fulfilled and we don't find satisfaction is because we're not doing what we were created to do. Our minds and our hearts and everything are focused on other things. We're focused on things that we think are going to do something for us. And they may make us happy. They may even satisfy, but it's temporary satisfaction. We've got to find our purpose in Christ and doing what we were created to do. Filling this earth with the glory of God. And one of the ways we do that is we carry the gospel of peace to the world and share it with those who are far from God. The last one is the sword of the Spirit. And this is important. He says this is the word of God, right? This is the sword of the Spirit is the word of God that we use against the enemy. And you got to think about it this way. It's really taking God's word and applying it and using it in our life. It's being able to take the part of God's word that is applicable for a given situation and using it as a weapon to be able to stand firm against whatever it is that's coming against us. Whatever it is that's telling us something contrary to the truth of Christ and the truth of his word, we stand on the word by using the word. Think about it like this. When Jesus, before he went into the desert to be tempted, before he went in, he was baptized. And it says that God spoke over him. This is my son with whom I'm well pleased. I don't think it was coincidence that Jesus was baptized and he heard the Father speak that over his life before he went in and was tempted. See, he had to know who he was. He had to walk in identity. And Jesus knew, but listen, we all need to be encouraged in that. We all need to be reminded of that. And Jesus was no different in that. He walked in the identity of who God told him he was. And he goes into the desert and he uses the sword of the Spirit as Satan begins to tempt him and begins to tell him half-truths and begins to tell him lies and begins to try to deceive. And he uses the word of God to defeat the enemy, to refute the lies. It's taking the sword of the Spirit to defeat the enemy's lies that come against us, that tell us things that are contrary to God's word. And we've got to use this armor. So many times we don't realize we have it. So many times we forget that it's ours. And so many times we have it, but we don't put it on. We don't walk in it. We don't walk in the truth of who we are in Christ. And I want to give you three very practical steps of how we walk in the truth of God's word. And they come out of James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And it's one thing to have the word. It's another thing to walk in the word. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." He tells us not to become angry. He tells us that it doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. But before he says that, he says, be quick to listen. He's saying, listen to God. Listen to the truth. Listen to the word. Listen so that you can hear the word of God, so you can hear what God would say to you. And in this, the first step we've got to do is we've got to hear the truth continually, the big T truth, the truth of God's word. We're bombarded with information all the time. We're bombarded by our experiences and the things that they have taught us. But we've also got to soak ourselves. We've got to saturate ourselves in the truth of God's word. We've got to hear it. And then the second thing comes out of verse 21. He says, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that's so prevalent." He's saying, get rid of sin, get rid of these things that hinder you from following Christ. And he says, "Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." The second thing we got to do after we hear it is we got to receive it. It's one thing to receive it and just mentally say, yeah. It's another thing to receive it into our hearts and let it begin to guide our lives. It's another thing to receive it into our minds and allow it to begin to transform how we think and how we see things and how we view things in the world and even viewing ourselves. And so we've got to hear it. Then we've got to receive it. And then the last one out of verses 22 through 25, he says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." The third thing, we just got to do what the word says. We've got to listen to God, hear it. We've got to receive it, and then we do what the word of God says. That's how we apply the sword of the Spirit, is we walk in the truth of God. We hear it, we receive it, and then we do it. That's how we live out of God's word. But we can't live out of God's word until God's word lives in us. We've got to know it. We've got to walk in it. We've got to hear it, receive it, and do it. had a friend of mine, he said, do you ever just not feel like reading the Bible? I was like, absolutely. You know, some days you can come to God's word and you're like, can't wait to get in. Other days you just have to make a decision and a choice, saying, I know this is what's best. I need this. And we choose to read it and hear it and receive it and do it. Again, not because we feel it, but because we know that it's the truth and it's the way to life. And so we walk in it in that way. If you think back to this soldier and all the armament that he's been given, and you look at this passage of scripture in James, and he talks about looking in the mirror. And when we come to God's word, it's like us looking in the mirror. And when we look in the mirror, listen, sometimes we see things that we like. When we look in the mirror, sometimes we see things that we don't like. When we look in God's word, sometimes we see things that we're doing well. When we look into God's word, sometimes we see things that we're not doing well. And so when we come to God's word, it shows us all of that. But what it ultimately ought to lead us to is a place of worship, because when we look in God's word and we see the shortcomings of our life, we see that we have fallen short of God's glory. Then we see how big this bridge is that Jesus has built between us and God so that we can be reconciled to him. And we come to a place of worship because of what God has done. Think about the soldier looking into a mirror and think about what he would have seen. He would have seen someone who was completely equipped by his king. The king had given him every single thing he needed for the battle, for the war, to be able to stand firm against the enemy, to be able to defend the kingdom, to be able to advance the kingdom. And I want to encourage you that when we look into God's word, like we're looking into a mirror, we should see people who are far from perfect, but have been made right by Jesus, and who have now been equipped with the armor of God so that we can do the things that God's called us to do. If we could just get that mindset and begin to understand that God's given us what we need in order to be able to defend the kingdom. He's given us what we need in order to be able to advance the kingdom. And we can walk in confidence in God, knowing that he's given me everything I need to fulfill the purposes the gospel of peace has given me. And I can do those things because God has equipped me with everything I need to win the battle. But so many times we don't see that. We don't realize that. We don't see ourselves as someone who's won this battle of identity because God's truth has trumped the lies of our experiences. We don't see ourselves as clad and infused with the righteousness of Christ. We don't see ourselves as ready to carry the gospel into the world and be an eternal difference maker. So many times we don't see ourselves as somebody that can live with courage, knowing that we've been saved, are being saved, and will be saved. We don't often see ourselves as able to take those flaming arrows of the enemy and continue to move forward in this conquest for the kingdom of God. But we've got to do this. We've got to walk in this big T truth of God's word. We've got to see God's word as more than a history book. We've got to see God's word as more than an antiquated philosophy. We've got to see God's word as the truth, the big T truth that guides everything, that sets us free, that gives life. It's impossible to have the life of Christ if we don't hold on to the word of life that gives us the life that he wants us to have. How many of you are like me in this? You have a problem remembering to change your air filter. Anybody else like that? They just forget all the time? Usually the way we remember that is because it starts making some noise, right? It's like starts whistling or making some kind of really bad noise. And so usually by the time we take it out, it looks more like when you pull out the vent on your dryer before you dry a load of clothes. Usually that's what ours looks like with all the lint and the dust and all that stuff. It's just caked on there. And so usually that's what it looks like when we pull it out of the unit there. And so the thing I want you to relate to that is oftentimes that's how our mind is clogged with all this, these wrong ways of thinking, all this, these negative thoughts and wrong thoughts and wrong ways of of seeing life and seeing ourselves. We don't see life through the filter of God's truth. We see it through the filter of our experience and those influences that have impacted us. And so it's clogged like that filter. And you think about that filter in the air conditioner. It doesn't allow the unit to do what it was really designed to do. It hinders it. It keeps it from being efficient. It keeps it from really functioning the way it was designed to function. And when we're walking in life with this broken filter, these wrong ways of thinking, these strongholds that take us down these wrong paths of thinking, then we're the same way. We don't function the way we were created to function. We don't have the power we were created to have. We're not capable of doing many times the things that we were created to do. But it's when we come to God's truth that we begin to see that change. We begin to have a correct filter. We begin to have the truth of God's word to filter out the junk so that we can live the way that God wants us to live and see things the way God wants us to see them, to think the way God wants us to think. Because here's the reality. The goal of all of this, guys, listen, is Romans 12, 2. It's Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. It says to us, this is Paul, and he wrote to the church in Rome. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so he's saying, listen, our minds, they're clogged with all kinds of junk that we've learned through culture and experience in all these different ways. They're clogged. They've got all this stuff in there that keeps us from thinking correctly, that keeps us from living correctly. The Bible says that when we come to faith in Christ, God gives us a new heart, but it talks a lot about our minds. They have to be renewed. They're being transformed, and as our minds are transformed, so are our lives. As our ways of thinking become different, so do our lives. And so we need to think differently. We need to have the mind of Christ. We need to think the way that God thinks and begin to grow in his understanding and in his wisdom so that we can think correctly. We can interpret things correctly in our lives. How many of you, when you were young, you learned these three words, stop, drop, and roll, right? We all probably taught that at some point in our lives. And I'm going to give you three more words today. These are not going to help you in case of a fire, but they will help you in the process of thinking and putting out those flaming arrows of the enemy, the lies and deceit, manipulation, the different things that come against us. And those three words are stop, think, and pray. Stop, think, and pray. You know, we hear the word of God. We receive the word of God. And then we do the word of God. But sometimes we're in such a hurry. Sometimes we just need to stop, right? We just need to take a moment to realize what's going on around us. For most of us, we're so busy and we're so rushed that we just go through life. We just go through life as fast as we can. And because of that, we really, a lot of times, put our lives on autopilot. I don't know about you, but so many times I feel like I wake up in the morning, then I'm back in bed to do it all over again the next day, right? And so it just goes so quickly. It goes so fast. And we just kind of get on autopilot where we just do things out of habit. We do things because that's what we've always done. And it goes to our thinking as well. We just think certain ways because it's the way we've always thought. But what we've got to do is we've got to realize all of this incoming information, all of these things that are coming at us, and it comes at us quickly in the world today with smartphones and everything. Somebody's always sending us something. And so we've got to realize that as fast as those things are coming at us, we can still stop and think about what's coming towards us. And so stopping is really just simply stopping the information that's coming into our mind and into our heart. It's when we come to a place of being able to stop for just a second and think, what is this that I'm about to allow into my mind? What is it that is coming into my heart? And we don't run through the day so fast on autopilot that we just accept everything that comes our way. We actually stop it for a second and take a moment to get out of this autopilot and intersect the incoming information, the things that are going on around you, the things that are speaking to your heart and to your mind at that point in time. And it could be so many different things, but we have to be aware of what's coming at us and what is speaking into our minds and into our hearts. The second word is think. So we stop the information, we stop it, and then we think about it. We bring that information to the truth of Christ. And as we do that, we analyze it. We look at it and say, is this lining up with what I know to be true in God's word? And we think about how it applies and if it applies to our lives. If we don't have the truth of God's word, though, the only option that we really have is to accept the things that come to us, to use our judgment on whether it's good or bad. But we have the word of God that will tell us if it's true or not. We have truth that gives us the ability to know what to receive and what to reject. We've got to come to a place where we really believe that living according to God's truth is the best way to live. When we think, it's pulling out the sword of the Spirit, the word of God's truth, and applying it at that moment to see, is this something that is true according to God's word, or is this something that I need to reject? And then the last word is pray. So we stop and we think and then we pray and we bring our hearts before God and we look at what we're hearing or what we're seeing or what we're starting to think, and we say, God, is this your heart? Is this of you? And if it is, listen, we apply it. We apply it to our lives. Just because we don't walk in condemnation or we walk according to God's truth, it doesn't mean that we won't be convicted. There's a big difference in conviction and condemnation. Conviction brings life because it leads to repentance. Condemnation condemns us as the person, whereas conviction, it condemns the sin. And so we can walk in this conviction and realize that 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training, that we need that, and that we can receive God's truth, we can receive conviction, we can be corrected, we can be rebuked, we can be changed, we can be trained without walking in a place of condemnation and receiving the truth that we're hearing. And so we apply that truth to our lives. The second thing that we can do with it is to trash it. And if we stop and we think about it and we bring our hearts before God and we realize that this is something that's not true according to God's word, then we trash it. So we either bring it and apply it or we trash it. If it's stuff that comes at us that's not true according to the word of God, if it's something that we're tempted to follow through on or receive or accept, but it's not true according to the word, then we have to trash it. And I'm telling you guys, this sounds like a process that would take forever, but your mind is amazing at how fast it can work and how fast you can interpret this stuff that's coming at you and how fast you can bring it to God's truth and how fast you can pray about it and either apply it to your life or trash it. But we got to be vigilant in this. That's why 1 Peter tells us to be sober-minded, to be alert, because things are coming at us quickly. And we need to be able to walk in the truth of God's word. I know for me, and some of you, you may be really good at computers. I don't know, you might be a computer guru. You might be a technological whiz. I am not, right? I know this. If I turn it off and turn it back on and it doesn't fix the problem, I'm out of options. I'm out of solutions. And so that's about the limit to my technological savvy. And so, but one thing I do know about my computer is this, is that when I hit command print or command P and it comes up and then I hit enter, it prints on this printer right back here. I know it does that. And I didn't set it up. I don't know how it does that. I just know it does that. And I know this, that it's called the default printer. So it just automatically goes to that printer. And so when I hit command P and I hit enter, it's going right there every time. It just automatically does it. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to do anything. It just automatically goes to that printer. I can walk in there, get it, and I'm done. And the thing with the way our minds oftentimes work is it's like we process information that way, it just automatically goes to a certain place. Our thoughts have been going this way so long, or the process has been going for so long in this certain way that we just automatically have this default way of thinking, this default way of processing information. And what God's word is able to do is he's able to rewire that. He's able to change that. He's able to transform that so that we can be transformed ourselves to think a different way. And that's the power of God's truth. And that's the power that we have as God's children to walk in. But we have to do it. We've got to apply it. We've got to hear it. And we've got to receive it. And we've got to do it. We've got to stop. And we've got to think. And we've got to pray. And we can walk in freedom. Remember, we've talked a lot about John 8:32 in this series, that we'll know the truth and the truth will set us free. But it's not just mentally assenting to the truth. It's when that truth is a part of us and is part of what we do and is becomes who we are. So we have this ability to walk in the truth. The last thing I want to tell you guys about this message and about this series is back to my beatdown, you know, what started with at the beginning of the message. When I got beat up that day, I went home. I was crying and squalling like a baby. And I get to the door, and I bust in the door, and my dad was home. And so he comes, and he grabs me, of course, and he's like, "What's wrong? What happened?" And he could see that my eyes were red, and not from crying, but from getting beat up. And so he's like, "Who did it? What happened?" Well, he knew where this kid lived. And so he grabs me by the arm. We don't even get in the car or anything. We just start walking down the road. And I'm like, I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what was going down. But my dad was walking with me, holding my arm and just almost dragging me down the road. We get to their house, and he just goes up and bangs on the door. And that kid's dad comes to the door. I saw the kid in the upstairs window. He went and hid real quick. And then that kid's dad comes to the door. And my dad looks at him, and he says, he doesn't say, "Hey." He doesn't say, "How you doing?" He doesn't explain the situation. He just looks at him, and he says, "If I ever see your kid around my kid again," and in some really redneck terms, he said, "I'm going to come find you, and it ain't going to be pretty." And I was like, oh, dang, right? And it's like, but it was cool. I mean, my dad, he took up for me, right? He stood there. He fought for me. And the last thing I want you to know, the last thing I want you to hear that I want you to understand is that you have a God who's fighting for you. You have a God who is fighting the battle with you, that you aren't alone in this, that God is still working, that he has a plan and a purpose, and he's fighting this battle with you. He's already won this war through Christ. But in the battles that we face, and listen, this is a momentary thing for us. This life goes by so quickly, it's momentary. But while we're fighting, while we're in the battle, he's fighting with us. And I want you to understand that you have a God who's fighting for you, but it's never been defeated. You have a God that's fighting for you that has no rival. There's no threat of his defeat. You have a God who's never woke up in the morning because he doesn't sleep or something, but he's never had this thought like, "What am I going to do?" He's never been in a situation that he was so perplexed, he didn't know the next step. You have a God who's fighting for you, who's with you, who has the plan and has the power to execute that plan. And I'm telling you guys, it's a powerful thing when the truth begins to rewire your mind. I know for me, I had to do this. I had to practice this week, and one time in particular. I was talking with a guy, and the guy said something, and he didn't mean it negative. He didn't mean it in any way to be negative towards me. But the way I heard it, you know how you hear things sometimes, and you're like, "Oh, he might have meant this." And I heard it in this negative way. And I had to stop for a second and think about it and go, that's not what he was saying. I had to realize that the truth of the situation wasn't what he was saying. And even if he was saying it, the truth, the situation, according to God's word, it wasn't true anyway. Another time, I have taught some classes over at Guido Gardens. They had me come and teach a couple of times on church planning and outreach. It's a lot of fun to go in and talk about the things we've learned here as we planted the church. But in both classes, the last day of the classes, or last night of the classes, there's been somebody in each of the classes that said, man, I'm really glad you taught this class. I've heard so much negative stuff about you that it was really good that I could hear your heart. And I was like, thanks, I think. I don't really know what to say about that, but, you know, it is what it is. And I can tell you there were times in my life where that would have just sent me into this downward spiral of who's saying this? Who's thinking that? Is it really that much that that's all he's heard and all of these things? And it had the potential just to put me into a funk that could last for days. But I know the truth of God's word. I know the truth of who I am in Christ. I know that those things aren't true. And so whatever is said, whatever someone else thinks is really irrelevant if it doesn't line up with God's truth. And so you can walk in this freedom. You can walk in this power of God that guards your heart. The other day I was talking with my middle son, Jackson, and I try to encourage him. You know, I try to do that with my sons. I'm not the greatest at it, but I told Jackson, I said, son, you're a special kid. I said, God's got big plans for you. And he sat there for a second and he looked at me. He goes, Dad, you need to know God has big plans for you still too. And that was so powerful for me that my son, one, he accepts and receives that God's got a plan for his life. But sometimes, you know, we need to hear that. We need to know that God's not finished with us. And I want you to know that. I want you to realize that and accept that and receive that. That God's not finished with your life, whether you're 17 or 72. If you've got breath in your lungs, then God's still working. He's still got a story to write with your life. And I want you to be able to live that out. I want you to be able to fulfill the potential that God's given your life, not wasting it on the temporary things of this world, but making an eternal impact in the lives of those around you. But the way we're going to have the greatest impact is when we walk in the truth of God's word and who we are in Christ, what he's called us to do and who he's called us to be, and we live out of that. I'm not going to stand up here today and tell you that I don't have those days when it's difficult, man. It still is, and I think that's why it's a battle. He's going to keep coming at us. But the great thing about it is we can know how to fight the battle. We can know how to battle and keep moving and keep going and keep stepping, not falling into the pit of despair, but living and standing firm on the truth. If we're going to do what God wants us to do, if we're going to do as a church what God wants us to do, if we're going to do as individuals what God wants us to do, it's going to be because we stand on the truth of God's word. And I want that for you. In fact, today, listen, we're going to wrap up, but I want to pray for you. If today you're looking at this and you go, you know, maybe there's been some discouragement in your life. Maybe you're facing a challenge. Maybe you've been through a storm, coming out of a storm, or maybe going into one. Whatever it is, I want to pray for you that we would stand firmly in the truth of God's word. Maybe you've just believed a lot of things about yourself from experiences that you've had, and you've been defined by those experiences. I encourage you to allow the truth of God's word to be that final voice in the areas of your life that you're struggling in. If it doesn't line up with God's truth, it's simply not true. And we can stand on his word, and we can stand on the truth that he's given us. So you're here today and you'd like prayer for that, just for what's going on in your life. I just want to pray for you. I'm going to give you an opportunity just to stand to your feet. Let's pray together. I'm going to stand here and the reality is I need that in my life. I need prayer in my life. I need the power of God in my life. I need the power of God's truth in my life to do what God's given me to do and called me to do. And listen, we're all in this together, and we need the community of God's people around us to encourage us and to help us walk in this truth as we are transformed into the image of Christ. And so let's pray together, and I believe that God is going to do a great work in us as He's continues to work in us through His Word. Lord, thank You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. God, I thank You that it's true, that it's living and active. That God, as we interact with it, it interacts with us. I thank You that it pierces our heart and it transforms our lives. I thank You, God, that even when our minds may be in the worst possible place, when our minds have been trained and it's been reinforced to think negativity or to think these negative things or to think things that are just not godly, God, You still transform minds and You transform our lives. So I pray that we would hear Your Word. I pray that we would receive Your Word. And I pray that we would do what Your Word says, so that our minds are transformed, that our lives don't conform to the ways of this world, but that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds. God, I pray that through the power of Your Spirit, You would strengthen us. I pray that through the power of Your Spirit, You would encourage and challenge us to continue walking forward. I pray we'd be able to see ourselves complete and equipped to defend the kingdom, but also to advance the kingdom, carry the gospel to the world. Lord, we love You and thank You for Jesus, for winning the war. And thank You that You walk through us and fight with us to win the battle. We love You and thank You for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you guys. I hope you have an awesome week.